Hi, Bill.
LaFern, as I live and breathe. How lovely to see you again, lady.
So last week when I drove over here, I took Laurel Canyon. And last week I was like, okay, don't ever do that again. Mm-hmm. So this week I take the 101 to Hollywood, to Fountain, and the Oscars are happening, so everything's shut down. And I'm like, okay, the bright spot in my mind that was like, take the 101 is faster, actually did not work. It's not.
No, well, I understand that. Oscars are Oscars. They screw up everything.
Right.
But they're a tremendous boon for the city, so.
I know.
You know, to have all that drama, all that preparation behind something good, it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about taxes or guns or school shootings or. It's just escapism and imagination and teaching through pictures and audio and.
Right.
You know, in fact, I think the country could use a little more Los Angeles if they'd wake up.
Interesting, because people are saying the opposite. It's like, no more Hollywood, but I think so too. I mean,
yeah, well, look at the ones that are saying no more Hollywood. They're anal retentive idiots. They're complaining about everything in the world except their own area, which looks like, you know, you'll shoot Texas, thanks anyway.
Yeah.
But no, I think this is a wonderful place.
I do too. When I was driving down, there was like maybe 20 cops on bicycles across the street, and then lines of like limos, and then I look across on my right hand side, and then there was this big van that says your event is important to us. And I was thinking, just like you were saying, how much money goes into this. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, people may say it's fluff, and I know my dad, when he was alive, he goes, I don't know any other people that give themselves awards more than actors, but I like how you put it, it's the celebration of storytelling and imagination.
How many other people are there that give of themselves like actors? How many people have a lifestyle like an actor who has no room for personal life? When they're working constantly, and when they're not working, they're trying to find work. And, you know, I realize those that really make it, it seems like an easier gig. But it really is not. I remember I was on some sort of, before they would call podcasts, whatever, and somebody's on about, oh, that stupid Jolie. I mean, she's so dumb. She does nothing. She stands around. She poses. She flashes her breasts. And she makes all that money, and it's so totally uncalled for, and blah, 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 blah. And I said to myself, you know, here is a person who has no idea what the job is, what it takes to do it, or what a reward for it should be, and they don't know enough to keep their mouth shut. I don't know how many of our listeners, although many of them may come from L.A., but I don't know how many of our listeners realize that if you're going to do a commercial, say, for Wendy's, it could take all day.
Yes. Sometimes 2 days.
And it will take all exposure and all of the efforts to get into it and all the efforts leading up to it. And this is a commercial for a product, not even Silence of the Lambs or,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So people want to be entertained, but they don't want to take responsibility and they don't want to give credit.
Right. I mean, I know like the actors that I know that are, you know, making a living, it's so much preparation from creating the character even months and months out before you start shooting,
mm-hmm.
to creating, you know, a visualization board and getting into the character and all that. It's a lot of work, and it's an art form, I feel.
Well, I think you're right. I think anyone out there who's a parent on the way out in the morning should grab one of their kids' textbooks and start memorizing it and see how well it goes.
I know. Right.
You know, because we're so dismissive. But the reality is it takes a huge amount of effort. And that's without getting into my part of acting, which is their insecurities and their doubts and their fears and what as kids they had to go through because their parents wouldn't support it because they didn't think it was practical and on and on and on and on and on. See, without all of that. So I think if they want to feel good about themselves, they should.
Yeah. I heard an interview, now I'm just going to forget her name right now. Ashley Judd. So she was the first, one of the first people to come out against Harvey Weinstein and say, you know, this is what he did to me. And I was like, oh, not another story. And as I was driving, I was like, my heart went because the guy asked her, where did you get the courage to come out? Because people were afraid that she was going to get sued and all that. She goes, I did it for the little girl in me. And I remember you saying that to me.
Right.
And it went, oh.
Yes.
And I was like, this woman is amazing. And wow, maybe she talked to you. I don't know. But I was like, she did it for the little girl and her not to be abused anymore.
That's right.
And victimized. And she didn't care what it was going to cost her, but she was like, I'm standing up for that girl.
Yeah, and I think that's phenomenal. And I think, first of all, life isn't supposed to be easy. It's learning. Learning is never easy, even when it's pleasant. And so life is a series of experiences designed to teach us about ourselves or about what we need to change about ourselves. Almost all of the pain in life is caused by trying to dodge that lesson. Whereas if we just listen, it would be fine. I think also the whole idea of being who you are and liking who you are and liking what you do and the way you do it is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to love you for what you, for who you see yourself to be. Not because somebody else thinks you're doing a good job or something.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that does things for other people that isn't selfish. They don't claim to be. They think they're the most generous person on earth, and all the losers around them are, oh, isn't that lovely? Wasn't that sweet? But if you sit down and say, all right, what did they get out of it, and why did they do it? It's like, oh, all right. Well, I'm glad she did it, and I'm glad they did it, and they got that done, and that's terrific. And I hope she learned from it what was there for her. It's also a part of growth and learning is never ask for advice. You know, never ask for suggestions. Never ask for feedback. Because the answer will always be designed to turn you into who they want you to be.
Yes.
They don't want to help you, they want to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the joy in life? If I were to give you an unvarnished view of my life, you would be horrified. Nothing I've ever wanted have I ever gotten. Every dream I've ever had has been smashed. People I care deeply about turn their back on me because I told the truth. So who could come along and say, oh, well, you got this out of it, you got that out of it, you got the other out of it. Fact is, no, I didn't. I had a temper tantrum. And then one day, in a moment of I guess divinely inspired insight. I realized I should be wanting these things for me, not so other people would be impressed. I mean, I had to learn to love who I am and what I do and the way I do it.
Yeah.
And even though I thought I was pretty good at that, this period of health challenge and the love that has come back to me from clients and friends makes me realize I had no idea what was out there. That's the joy of living. It's the joy of discovering what's right with you, the joy of getting to use what's right with you, and the joy of living in the moment and seeing how you contribute.
Yes.
And so let's talk about contribution. I'm not letting you talk, I'm sorry.
No.
But let's talk about contributions. I don't make that many contributions to people.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Well, I'm talking.
Okay.
And it's a good thing because not many people acknowledge it. But when I do it to feel good about me, when I do it because it makes me smile that I did it, then it's something nobody can take away. Now, I'm not saying people aren't grateful for things I do, they are, and certainly during this period they've shown it. But so often we do things in the hopes that other people will see us in the way we want to be seen, and we want to be seen in the way we see somebody else. How sad. Where are you in all that?
Right.
People are a fickle lot. Let's go back to when we had neighborhoods. You know, and the milkman would come in the morning and put the bottles on the step and take the other ones back. And he got to know a lot of the people on his route and chat with them and one thing and another. And that's all he ever wanted to do or be, and people loved him for it. Down the street, there's a convent, and there's a priest or a nun in there who spend their whole life, you know, quote unquote, emulating Jesus. You know, and people view them with fear and insecurity and doubt and awe. And the difference is that the milkman is just being himself, letting you be yourself, and has often stopped to talk to you when you weren't feeling well and helped you feel better in the few minutes he was there. The priest or the nun is in the business of selling you on being captured by their philosophy and doing it their way, so you can't feel better about it. Now, escapists will say, oh, when my son died, the church was so good. Father came and sat with us and we did the rosary, and I said, and that did what? Well, how were you different after the rosary than you were before your child died? You're actually giving people a power to help that they don't have.
Mm. Wow.
You know, you'll see the television, there'll be a disaster or whatever, and the Lord spared me. Really? Yes. What do you do to all those people whose houses flattened? Oh, well, I don't know about that, but he spared me. He didn't spare anyone. Everybody got what they needed to learn what they needed to learn. God wasn't involved at all. But because religion is not about spiritual reality, but rather about spiritual coercion, they have to create all of these fallacies and half-truths and lies that make no sense under analysis, so people will stay with them. On the other hand, it's the people's fault sometimes. For example, somebody loses a child. And we've been programmed to then go to somebody to sympathize with us.
Right.
If they come to me, I'll sympathize with them and I'll say, and you know, this is what he came here as a learning lesson. And this is how it got fulfilled. And the learning lesson for you in this was this. And you're learning that, so all of you have shared in each other's growth. Oh, I don't want to hear that. But it's much more helpful.
Yes, it is.
And it's always true because there's nothing random about spiritual life. And so anyway.
Yeah.
So much for my view of growth.
No, I was invited to work this red carpet a couple days ago, celebrity red carpet for Oscars. And I'm there and I see this guy that I follow like on Twitter or whatever, and I was excited to see him. And then I was like asking him all these questions, and then as he's leaving, he says, "You didn't ask me one question about sports," because my other job, I do, you know. And I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
I was just excited to ask him the questions that I wanted to know.
And was he unhappy?
Yeah, he seemed like he was disappointed.
You know, sir, I asked you questions about what's interesting about you. Sports are not interesting to everybody. The fact that you answered this and said that and did that touched the lives of a lot more people than if I had asked you about your last.
God. See, but that goes back to trusting me.
Oh, yeah.
So as I was feeling like, oh, right, but then I was like, no, but that's not how I do interviews. You know, I take it, you know, no matter what you do, I take it from who that person is.
Right.
And then I went home and I was like, Bill, I'm not, my husband, I'm not, something's going on, I'm not feeling well. I lie down and I was like, you know what it was? I picked up all of other people's insecurities. And not that I did a bad job, I did a really fine job with what I was working with. And I took on something that wasn't me.
Right, you need to leave it with them.
Yes.
But you didn't realize that.
I did not realize that.
But now you will.
Yes.
See, that's the other thing. We have to view ourselves in a continuity. Having made a mistake here or not done something as well as we would have liked here doesn't mean we never will. It means that because we recognize it, we'll do an even better job the next time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And
that goes back to like trusting your gut, right? Just trusting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trust who you are.
Talked about last week. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, you are all there is.
Yeah.
There's no purpose in your life except you. And there shouldn't be. How could you be born for somebody else? You have to be born for you and what you need to learn.
So you as Bill, as the little boy Bill, can you talk about that for a second and like, you know, seeing that little boy Bill and who you are now?
Well, I tend to look at it differently. I tend to look at who I am and how I react now compared to the freedom or lack of freedom I felt growing up. But for many people, they can't make that distinction. So I live my life in ways that tickle me, that I find fun, that I find I get a big boot out of. And I think in terms of readings, I can be very funny.
You are very funny.
Very funny. Did I say I was funny? But that's only good if it's shared. And for me to be funny, I can't take myself too seriously. Because like being a psychic, every word out of your mouth is a gamble. There's no instruction book, there's no backup. Like the man that said to me, you know, I really don't believe in what you do, but for God's sakes, keep doing it because it was so helpful.
All right.
So, I'm happy to.
Yeah.
And you can call it anything you want to. If you get help from it and you want to use it, it's here.
Yes.
I do not make too hard terms for people who want help.
Yeah. I remember when I first met you, when Bill introduced me, I was like so scared. And I remember shaking, and then I had my first reading. And you called me by a nickname nobody calls me by, and you said you had to do that so I can trust you. And you said that you really think that's great because you don't accept everyone's word until they earn your trust. Mm-hmm. You just don't give your trust out to anyone. And I was like, oh, okay.
Nor should you. And when it's earned, remember it the next time it's earned and it's not what you wanted to hear. Mm. You know, because that's designed to help you.
Right.
Take on things and grow through things you might not normally want to.
No, and I've done... If I do what you have told me, mm-hmm. 100% of the time, it turns out exactly how you said it was going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I mean, it takes a lot of work to get there. It takes a lot of work to get through that, oh, it's going to be okay pain. Or
there's no corner cutting in living.
Yeah.
There's no shortcut. There's no... I'd like to think I present things in a way that make them digestible, that make them comfortable, but it's still up to the individual.
Absolutely. The willingness to grow.
Mm-hmm. And I'm keeping an eye on my gut feelings because they're never wrong. And for example, I was looking at a magazine and I saw this orchid, and it's stunning. So I looked up places in LA and I called one of them, and they finally called me back. It's not a very well run business, apparently. And they called me back, and they're going to call me back again. But he was so pleasant. He was so open and willing to find out what I need, to keep things within budget, to keep things, that I can't wait to do business with them.
Oh.
You see?
Yeah.
But some people seem to think that it's a privilege to let you do business with them so they can be as obnoxious as they want.
Right.
Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
Not on my watch.
Yeah.
So.
So you trusted your gut to get that orchid?
Well, they're going to look for one. Accepting reality is important. Most people would say, well, if you can't, why are you in the business? You can't get it for me. It is that there are only so many of those orchids that grow.
Oh, wow.
And so when they find one, they'll get it for me.
How nice.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I'm not going to be miserable or judgmental. So we need to be happy about ourselves.
Be happy about ourselves. That's.
Yeah, be happy about ourselves, about what we do and how we do it, how well we do it. So you're a parent, you blow up at your child, and you stop for a minute, you say, that wasn't a good thing. So there are a number of ways you can handle it, but really only one good one. Give up the idea that parents are in control. Go to her and say, you know, honey, I was wrong and I'm sorry. I overreacted. This is why, this is what I was afraid of, and I want you to understand that it wasn't you. Well, then the next time that the child has a problem, they're going to be much more comfortable coming to you. I think the real thing I like to get across to our listeners, if there are any, is that being happy with you is what makes you happy. And the happier you are with you, the more we share it with others. See, because one of the best ways of helping other people is to live the answer. You live and handle life in a way they can follow it. And that's much more helpful than advice or, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So.
Yay. Share. If you can, share our podcast. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, and look forward to it for sure.